You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Sunday to you all, and happy pre-Emmys week. I'm very excited to be here with you all, and happy sixth anniversary to my little show here. And, you know, I'm very excited to not call it a little show very soon. We've got some big, big things coming. And I'm really honored to have our first guest on today. We're with Mike, and he's got a new book. So let's welcome Mike here to the Startup with Monique Leray on our sixth year anniversary. How's it going?
Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, you are obviously quite good at what you do. And I just want to commend you at publishing a book. I've been working on a book for I don't know how long. I don't even know. And just to get that out and maximize your experiences and help the world and business and life. Kudos to you.
Well, thank you. It's actually, I mean, a lot of authors say this. It's actually been the hardest thing I've ever done because I've never written a book for publication before. You know, I've had businesses and done various things in my life, but this has been the highlight of my, I'm turned 64 this year.
Wow.
And it is the legacy of my life. My learning is me putting together this book so that I could share life experience about how I think our nation has kind of gone off the rails a little bit and how we can be optimistic about bringing a sense of liberty and the republic back to where it was originally intended to be. And I'm really excited to talk about that.
Well, first of all, happy 64th. There's a lot of sixes in there. Sixth year anniversary for me and you're 64. We won't rush you to 66.
Hey, that's fine. The more time above ground, the better, you know?
That's right, that's right. And you're right. I think, you know, what I love about the title of your book and the timing of your book and the essence that it's capturing is that, you know, a lot of times I'd open up the show with, hey, we're not a political show. We talk about startups and navigating it and resources and what if you didn't have it and what was your startup story and your journey and how did you make it? But the truth of the matter is the structures in our government can also set us up for success or failure. And yeah. Sometimes those things cross, you know, and I think that you're doing this in a way that can keep honor to anyone's opinion on where they sit. Cause we all want to be prosperous and that's why we live in America. So I'm going to go full screen and let you introduce yourself and give everyone a little deeper dive on your book and who you are.
Well, thank you, Monique, so much. So the book is a testimony to my life with intention on how we work as a society. I grew up here in South Carolina on a farm, and I grew up at a time when Jim Crow was still in place. We had folks that were African-American that lived on our farm that worked for my grandfather plowing mules, and the daughter of some of those folks took care of me growing up. So I grew up in a world that is very alien, but also show the challenges that this country can be. You know, we're still an experiment. And part of experiment is require citizens to constantly look into the lab, to go into the lab and keep mixing and say, how can we make this better? And that's been the testimony of our nation for the past 250 years since the revolution. And what I've seen is how that has been corrupted through the lack of engagement and the expectation that other people are supposed to take care of these sort of things. So my book, Reviving Our Republic, I use it as inspired by several things. The subtitle says 95 Theses for the Future of America. And that refers to when, if anybody knows history and the history of the Reformation, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the door in Wittenberg to push back on a corrupted Catholic Church in the 16th century. So I like that aspect of putting down 95 argumented reasons why I think these certain policies should happen, and how we can get back to the sense of where we can actually work together again. And I also am inspired by Washington's farewell address. George Washington, when he left the office, he put out a farewell address that I see as kind of an owner's manual for the nation. I come from a life of preservation. For the past 15 years, I ran Preservation South Carolina, and I'm used to going into historic structures that are old and many of them decrepit that were because of lack of maintenance. But I also understand if the foundation is good, then the structure can be rehabilitated. And that's what I see America is. I think the foundation is very good, but I think we need some more intention and to look at our owner's manual that Washington left us. And out of that owner's manual, I've created 40 policy points that I outline in the book. But a lot of it has to do with business in regard to corporations and the corporatization of our society and how over the past 50 years, we have monopolized certain things and have extracted value and wealth out of the rural areas in our country into the urban areas and the areas where money has flowed to and out of these communities. And that's one of the things I address in the book as well.
Yes, yes. Beautiful background there, laying that out, giving us some structure on your upbringing and where you come from and your roots. I think that the passion shines through. But what I really love is that you look back in history and you draw from the past. And if we look there, it kind of negates the argument, if there were to be one, that it's an opinion. Because that's you're looking right. at history, at, you know, it's already happened. And okay, what worked, what didn't? I mean, most smart business people do that. So this is a business. I mean, you know, I know when I say that, when I say America is a business, I mean, you know, there are things here in place you can really thrive and really do well. So I love that you've been able to put 50 theses together, which, my goodness, how long did it take you to complete the book?
I've been working on this in theory and thought. You know, you have to imagine things first before you can put them into real form. And I've been thinking about this ever since I started learning about international studies and everything when I was in the Navy in the, you know, 35 years ago in the Navy. But on the Republican Party primary debate in August of 2015, that's when I saw what I feared was the vulgarization of our politics, of how debate was turning into just name-calling, argumentative, and turning it into something as if it's part of worldwide wrestling and let's just get ratings.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about what Washington warned us about and realized we were going down the slope that a great quote is when after the Constitutional Congress, when they wrote the Constitution and a lady asked Franklin, what type of government do we have? And he said, a republic if we can keep it.
Ah.
Well, we have done everything we have in the past, at least century, to erode the ability to keep the republic. Yes. And so a lot of the policy points in here have to do with the decorporatization of our party system, and to make it more accessible, and also to make capital more accessible for small businesses, because everything is being so monopolized on how you get capital that only big, huge corporations are able to do it to the extent that small towns and stuff are used to. And I go through some of those issues as well.
That's really insightful. I love that quote, and I'm glad that you brought that up. I'm going to actually look back and read that again, because here's the thing for me. I think you're hitting on points that a lot of startups can relate to. And that's, you know, the rural areas and the people who do have beautiful, bright ideas, and it's not quite reaching them. The resources aren't reaching them. And you're right. We have to look at who do we want to be? And taking it back to 2015, that's about 10 years. That's 10 years ago. And you bring me back to when I was casting at MTV. This is going to make sense in a minute, I hope. When I was casting, you know, dating shows on MTV, okay? And I remember my colleague, shout out to Angela Weingrad. She said, Monique, whomever you're reaching out to today, we'll probably hear from them in a week or two. So whatever the soil that you're watering today, you'll see the sprouts in a week or two. And it was common sense, and you already kind of knew that, but it's true to your point. you started seeing the sprouts back then, and now we've got a lot of weeds.
Yeah, we do. And we need to learn that with the weeds, you can't just spray and kill everything.
Yeah.
Right. You have to be surgical. You have to be thoughtful. You have to be intentional. I am confident. When people ask me, are you an optimist? You see the glass half full or half empty?
Yeah.
Well, I actually see the glass that could be filled again to the top. Okay.
Nice.
It's not about the judgment on how to interpret what the glass is. It's about how do you make the glass sustainable for what you need? And that's the approach I took in writing this book. Mm-hmm. And one of the things goes, I ran for Congress as an independent in South Carolina.
Okay.
And I got more
votes. Not quite popular in that neck of your woods, right?
Well, it's a very strong Republican corner where I am. And I am a constitutional conservative, but I'm also a social liberal.
Yeah.
You know, just leave me alone and let people live their lives and just get out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, the fact of the matter is the Republic itself needs people to be engaged and to discuss and to be able to do that. And the thing that has happened is the structure that we have has created the environment we're living in. And it can easily be dismantled with just a few little fixes. I'm confident it could be. So that's the optimism I have with it. And that's why I'm putting my whole life effort into making sure I can spread the word for this and to give it an alternative.
This is beautiful, Mike, and very timely. And I think, you know, as you're speaking, I'm thinking of the situation we find ourselves in the United States is kind of a Rubik's Cube, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like you are the Rubik's Cube professional here. You know, I think you're looking to history. You've been engaged. You've seen what works. You've seen what doesn't. And you kind of touched on my next question, which was, how did we get here? How did we get so divided? Didn't we all want the same thing? It may not look the same, but are we paying taxes? Don't we want the same thing?
That's the thing about the human experience. We really do. I've traveled a lot all over the world. And the thing that always astonishes me, and growing up in the South, I grew up in a very close society in South Carolina. And I'm always amazed to see how everybody is alike. Everybody loves their children. Everybody wants to be happy and have a fun conversation. You know, that human experience is universal. How I think what we got here is we've confused the ability to have a nation for liberty for individuals where people can pursue their happiness, as our founding documents declare we should be able to, with a nation that should be a world power that takes care of anybody that scares us. And if we're too afraid, we have to go and make some sort of defense mechanism, and we build a corporations to try to make sure we build war so we can be safe. And it's impossible to be a land of free individuals that have open society when the nation looks at itself as the world's biggest superpower. And those type of responsibilities it takes to be that type of country is not the same type of nation that free citizens can inhabit the way the founders thought we should be able to. So the system has been eroded because of the feeling like what's most important. And that's where I think we went away from our founding principles over the past century, but definitely since World War II, when we kind of inherited the sense of now we're the greatest nation on earth and we have a responsibility for everything. And that's kind of where I think.
Yes. And I think that that's a really healthy perspective based on history. And you know, when you base it on something that's happened, that's fact. I like that you mentioned that you are well-traveled, as am I. And I wanted to ask and inquire with you about the systems, the political systems in other countries. I noticed in my travels for the Pandemic Project documentary, now out on Vimeo.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And Pandemic Film is coming next. But I went to 20 cities around America during the pandemic and 40 plus countries in 22 months around the world. And I saw so many things and learned so much, as are you. But I noticed there's more than one or two, three, four parties in a lot of countries. Where do you find solace in some of the countries that are succeeding and the intended mission we had with the forefathers and the founding fathers? Where do you find inspiration? Which countries do you think we could align with to maybe realign ourselves?
Well, the one danger in that is to assume that there's things that America is the most unique nation that's ever existed. And unfortunately, because of the strength of everything that we've done, there's a lot of people here think that we're the best, and so nobody matches us. And as I traveled around the world and went to Germany, I first went into an airport in Frankfurt, Germany in 1990, and I was astonished at how modern the airport was, how easy it was for the handlers to do the luggage. And I was like, why don't we have this in America? Why aren't we on a bullet train?
Well, you know the answer, right?
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you, but in case you guys don't know, it's capitalism.
Well, capitalism is only dangerous when only capitalists use it for their own means. On a small community where you have people that compete with each other, that build businesses, that can raise capital for their families and sustain themselves, it works on a community level. But on a global hegemony, it just extracts resources. And in Germany, where you had people sitting here going, let's make the things best, and they were able to invest in great systems. And here, we're so caught up in our own prideful aspect that we're the greatest in the world that a lot of folks just don't know how to stop and go, yeah, but how can we be better? What it is that we can do to be better? And that's one of our biggest flaws in the quirks and foibles of us. One of the greatest strengths of us is the fact that, you know, when you're in Germany, Germany was formed because they were Germans. France was formed because they were French. America was formed because you had an aspiration for a better self. At least those of us from Europe that came here, those that came from Africa were not. They were grabbed and forced. But that's the promise that is available through this experiment as freedoms get expanded like they should. And that has worked. What's happening now is a regression against things that we have to be cognizant of. And also in business. I mean, in rural South Carolina, I see the corporate marriage between government and insurance industry and how it is destroying rural healthcare.
Yeah.
I've got a great little podcast where we worked on and how rural healthcare is just getting gutted. And it's those little things that we have to learn how to fix and have those discussions. And I touch on that in the book as well.
You touch on that in the book as well. Guys, why don't you hold the book up one more time? Where can people order it? Obviously Amazon, but tell people where else, if that's where it is. That's
well, Amazon. You go on Amazon, type
in. That's where everyone's book is. You know,
that's it. And I also have revivingourrepublic.com, which goes into more of the history of it. But I've got it on all and Kindle. And for those who like to hold a book, right there. And I'm the publisher. This is not through a publishing company. I started my own company called Map Media, and I did it myself. So
you mapped it out. Now, are you taking on other clients to publish, or are you a lone soldier?
I hope to. I really do hope to, because
I figured that you might.
If this is a success, like I hope it could be.
Yeah.
The reason I called it Map Media, I believe in the concept of place, why place matters, how place forms who we are, how it informs us who we are. Hmm. And the map, I was a navigation in the Navy. And I love maps, because maps tell us where we are, where we can go, how do we get there. So that's why I named my company Map Media. And I would love to have this enough of success where I can help support other writers who are doing things in the same vein, so we can all interlock a community of people who see we can make the world better if we just know where we are, why we're here, and where we want to go. That's the goal.
Listen, guys, I didn't know that Mike, I always say this, but Mike's having church on a Sunday here on the Startup.
Amen.
He's giving it to us. Amen. Because I love that you drew from your travels and saw in other communities and other countries how they brought together and refined and made things more efficient and communal and just for everyone. And you're absolutely right. We shouldn't say we're the best country. I'd like to say we are a really good country. We have a lot of work to do. Yep. There's a lot of opportunities. We are doing pretty good, you know, if you want to compare to other ones. But I do believe in taking what works and leaving the rest, looking at what works and leaving the rest. And yes, this is the call now. If you guys are looking to publish, if you have an idea, concept, Mike, get with Mike, because maybe he can help map out your book and get his book on Amazon. I think it's a good time to start thinking about Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate, birthdays, anniversaries. And these ideas aren't unfamiliar to people, because coming together really makes you strong. I saw that traveling around during the pandemic, and it was interesting to me. And I might have to put a graph up at some point when I write my book. But there are certain areas in the country that, for some reason, with less resources, they still were able to get through it a little easier. Or it wasn't an easy time, but they came together. There were certain points in the country my interviews, and I saw the community come together in a different way. Now, I'm not saying folks didn't help folks, but I love what you said. And yeah.
The one thing I just want to mention when you talk about it's intention, positive, loving intention is what grows resources. And any nation that gets wealthy, if they don't learn how to tap into that sense of drive and ability to feel a fire here to be something, that makes all the difference in the world to what can be achieved and what can be done. And wealth is the last thing out of that. It's a nice reward if things are done well, but it's definitely not the motivator.
Yes. What wisdom well received. I want to go full screen one more time. Mike, plug this book. And if you don't mind, I didn't preface this before we started, but if you feel comfortable, could you read one little excerpt out of your book just to whet our appetite, perhaps?
Well, thank you so much. I would like to read something. And what it is, it's really words that I did not write, but they inspired me. When I watched one time Jeff Goldblum read this on TV back 5-6 years ago, and I put it at the front of my book because it shows why. Let me just read this real quick. This is the true joy in life, being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one, being a force of nature and selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community, and as long as I live, it is my privilege to do for what I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die, for the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle to me. It's a sort of splendid torch which I have got hold of for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations. George Bernard Shaw. That is why I wrote the book. That's what we're here for as citizens. We have job to do. We can't stand on the sidelines. We have to get to work.
Mike Bedenbaugh, author of Reviving Our Republic. These are tools you can use to have conversations in the upcoming Thanksgiving season, to have conversations with your team in executive positions or startup positions, and to have a conversation about reviving our republic so we can all be better. I really appreciate your work, your time, and you have to come back. I want to see how you do Q1 next year, maybe.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. I'd love to.
A pleasure to see you, Mike. And you guys, get this book. It is the roadmap to all of us coming together and being stronger. Thank you so much, Mike, for being on The Startup.
Thank you, Monique, and congratulations again.
Thank you. All right, take care. You guys. What a pleasure. I think speaking truth to the moment and doing it in an eloquent way is always nice. And with facts, with history, really does de-escalate any political arguing and we all live in this country together, right? We all live in this world together. We're all of energy. And I like that quote where Mike has that in his book, and he's talking about being used up. I never really looked at it like that, because oftentimes I get tired, I get exhausted. But I think that there's something to that. Maybe that's why some of us in startup situations and entrepreneurship and the way we are get tired, but maybe we're looking at it wrong. Maybe we should be tired. Maybe we should be used up. Maybe we should pour out our resources for our communities and think of it on a macro level instead of ourselves. And I love that. Speaking of thinking on it on a macro level and not of ourselves, I have this wonderful baddie coming next to me right here, getting all cute, coming from the beach. You guys, can you believe who we have on the startup? It's my 6-year anniversary, and I've got Broken Girl Unchained.
Oh my God, no.
It's now known as
Unchained Transmission.
Hi, love.
Hi, honey. I'm so excited to be here.
How are you, sister?
Oh my God, it's been nothing but amazing here.
Scoot over. Come
sets, and oh my God, I was in my bikini, and I'm so sorry.
You should be. You're unchained.
I am.
And underneath, behind us, it says Inspire, even though, you know, I'm in the middle of, she's rebranding, and I'm going to be doing my studio. I know I've been teasing that.
I love her.
I love you. I'm so glad you're here in the physical.
I know. Well, it's been a minute.
I know. Well, it's been a minute, and it's been a lot, but you know what? That's what we do.
Can I hold your mic?
Oh, yes, you can.
It's been a minute since I've been back on this thing. Oh my God, you're so beautiful.
You're just used saying. To it. She's used to running her own show. So, you know, type A meets type A minus or no, A plus.
A plus. She's way above the bar. No.
Listen, you know what? Queens come together and magical things happen. So thank you for being on my 6-year anniversary show. It's a pleasure to have you.
Oh my God, thank you for having me. It's an honor.
You're welcome. So now I wanted to have her here because Juliet is rebranding. So say the name of your podcast, your very, very famous world-renowned podcast that people would know, and then say the new brand one more time.
Okay, so I'm formerly known as Broken Girl Unchained. And I just rebranded to Unchained Transmissions. Why? Because I'm no longer broken. Mm. I'm no longer broken, and words hold so much power. Mm. So I was just like, you know what? And you've been telling me since we met, and we met years ago. Yeah. But you've been telling me, you're not broken, girl. Why are you promoting that you're broken? I was like, you know what? I'm clocking that.
It's time to change. Well, you know, and if you don't mind, we're sharing a mic here.
I know.
But, you know, you're used to holding it, so I'll let you hold it. So it's funny because I think we speak to the audience that we can connect with at the time.
Right.
And so I was always of the belief to pull higher. So that comes from being an athlete, a hurdler. Well, literally and figuratively, you have to pull higher and faster. But I tell that to my clients. I tell that to myself. Yes, here I am right here, but that's past energy.
Right.
So I'm calling forth the new, you know, the new energy for the business and for yourself.
And you know what? It's so funny because I always call myself as a third person. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, Juliet, Juliet, Juliet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
if
I don't know that person, but I do.
Yeah.
Because
you do.
That person is my higher power. And so that person will bring it. You know, we'll bring the fire.
She's got that fire, you guys. Now, I'm excited to speak to you about, so we had a conversation offline, and I'm like, what would my 6-year anniversary be like to be on? My 6 is not my favorite number, but I'm glad to have done something for 6 years consistently. And I spoke to you when I first started. I said, don't worry about it being perfect. Just start. So now it's about refining. So that refining my brand, you're rebranding your brand. So I want to speak to you guys and with Juliet about refining your brand. Like, consistency is one thing. Consistency got me to 6 years. Mm-hmm. You guys have seen me in the airports, like I mentioned before. You've seen me all over the place.
I picked her up from the airport.
Yeah, airport. Yes, she did. You've seen me in airports around the world. You've seen me at Starbucks in my car. But I was always dedicated to the consistency. And then I figured I'll give myself a chance to make it better. I'm going to scoot over and give you the full screen. And I want you to speak to people about being consistent, refining your brand, and just tell them more about you.
Well, first of all, what I want to get narrowed down is how you came in to each I don't even want to call it a segment. So each situation was full blown Monique power. She's like, okay, we need this, we need that. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, I got you.
She can keep up. One of the few people that can keep up. I don't know. And
I love that.
Well, thank you.
Well, you know, being in this industry, you have to be on all the time.
Yeah.
You have to be headstrong. You have to have everything carpentalized. Am I saying that?
Yeah. Carpent. Wow.
See? We're very tight.
Carpentalized. You have to put in a compartment.
Yes, yes.
And you have to keep things in order.
And we have some big things coming up. Can we talk about that?
Dude, so many things. Well, we'll do it at the end.
Okay.
This is your time to shine.
Okay.
I'm going to scoot over.
I'm just excited.
I love it. So I'm going to scoot over here. And I'm actually, this is the first time I've given someone sitting next to me the full screen because I trust this girl with
Thank
it.
You.
You're welcome. Tell people about a little bit more about, like I said, starting and now you're refining your brand.
Okay.
Okay. And how your growth meets that moment.
Okay.
Scoot on over. Take the show.
And here I go.
You got 10 minutes for this.
Okay. So again, I'm Juliet with Unchained Transmissions. And let me tell you, I came from Broken Girl Unchained. And I have to say, I was kind of broken. I was trying to figure things out, trying to, you know, come into my own identity. And you know what? I didn't want to be anyone that wanted me to be. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, Juliet's this, Juliet's that. I'm like, no, bitch. I know who in the fuck I am. So after all the trials and tribulations, and yes, I've had my kid taken away by the state. I've had the county after me. I was pulled out of my house, kicking and screaming, blah, 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 blah. Like, I can play victim all day motherfucking long. But let me tell you the beauty of this. The beauty of it is that I'm unchained, raw, real, and I'm authentic. So anybody can say whatever the fuck they want to say, but I truly know who I am. You know, I call myself Agent Smith because, well, not only to the love of my life, but but only because I'm the agent to our divine creator. So, you know, I channel in a lot of creativity. I channel in a lot of advocacy work. I channel in a lot of empowerment. I channel in a lot of mental health. Why? Because I'm connected. You know, I've done my healing work. I've done my journey. I've done all of that. So I can meet people where they're at. Why? Because I've been there. If you're a suicide survivor, been there. If you're an addict, been there. If you're an alcoholic, been there. It's like I've been there and I'm back and I'm ready for the comeback. And that's what it's all about. Right?
I love that. Okay, good. I just went and put my hat on while she was sharing her testimony. And okay, this is really, really great because you are touching on so many things that I think a lot of entrepreneurs, and even if you don't have a like business per se,
right,
you can feel these feelings. Overwhelmment. How am I going to make this happen? And so this person sitting to my left, excuse me, that would be you guys' left. That would be my right. This lovely human is just, I fell in love with you and your soul and your fight. And I love to see where you're going next and where
you're
going
been. Together.
Well, okay.
We're on this
Very
ride
good.
Together.
I can't wait to get my clone. I need two clones. So yes, I'm really super jazzed about your growth and everything that you're doing, but I just saw you in action with someone, a client. And I saw what you really do. And I'm like, wow, she's got something there. Because when you go down to the bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even in business, Ooh. Guys, it's a tough economy. So let's speak to that a little bit.
Yeah,
like when you go down to the bottom, what are the tools what tools are in your toolbox to pull you up, do you think?
To tell you the truth, like when someone's judging me and I'm like, say I'm sitting in front of a director or a producer going over my screen, right? Whatever the fuck may be. Okay. So, and they're judging me.
Yeah.
All I picture myself is in a little bubble.
Yeah.
I'm in my bubble.
Yeah.
You can't penetrate my bubble.
Yeah.
So even if that person judges me or whatever the fuck they want to, whatever.
Yeah.
To me, like, if I'm not vibing with you and we're not on the same frequency, then maybe this just is not for me. The same token as I'm interviewing you, you're interviewing me.
Well, apparently, because she took my mic. Now, give me my mic back. That's my 6-year anniversary. Hey, so one of your tools, I put my hat on. This is my dog's birthday hat, guys, but I didn't have a 6-year. And shout out to my doggie, Winston Capone.
I love him.
I miss him. Okay, so one of your tools in your toolbox is I create a bubble that nothing that you can say or do, which anyway, you know what? That's funny because that brings me back to this point where someone else asked me on a podcast, what happens when you have haters? And I said, well, listen, they weren't there when I created this plan. Mm-hmm. They weren't there when I was struggling to do X, Y, and Z. They don't know the background. It's not their fault. It's not their business.
Right.
I don't need them to be on board. Right. I don't need them to like me.
Right.
But guess what? You might not like me, but if I'm consistent and I get results and I help, you're going to respect me.
Well, the beauty of all of that is if you have the correct support system, you have to have the correct support system. Yeah, you can say all that. I mean, do all that self-talk, mm-hmm. but you need your external environment to match your inside.
Great.
You know what I'm saying?
So that's another tool. Yes. So guys, insulate yourself. Remember why you started. Don't worry about the external noise. And you need external support. So that's another tool that you gave this mm-hmm. listeners. You got one more tool maybe you could give somebody that's really just like, am I keeping my business or not?
Just know, no matter how big your business is, it could be like so small. Just know you're a boss bitch.
Or a boss mister. Or anything in between.
Just be like, anyway.
Why do you think
with everything?
But that's great advice. So don't give a damn. So then why do you think it is that we care about what other people think so much?
Our ego.
Mm.
Our ego, we create our ego to protect ourselves, for safety mechanism, mm-hmm. for PTSD. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes into a clusterfuck of bullshit, right? I'm just being real with you.
It's kind of true.
It is. So when you create this ego, you get like in your masculine and you're like barking at everybody. You're mm-hmm. like, meh, meh, meh. I mean, everywhere. Mm-hmm. But when you fall into your divine, what's the word I'm looking
for? Your divine, it depends on who you are. Like if you're a woman.
You're divine masculine.
We switch in between.
You can be soft and still set your boundaries and be like, no. Check it. It's not going to be like that.
Yeah.
And I've worked with you on many different personal occasions and also business occasions. And you were just like very upfront and you're like, boom, this is not going to happen. I'm going to tell you that right now. This is not going to happen, you know? And I mean, you just have to respect it because my level may not be your level,
right.
but I have to meet you where you're at.
And that's what you said at the top. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. And I think we meet each other's clients and friends and family
right.
where they are in a different way.
Right.
Like
right,
I
right.
like you, you come in different. And that's the beauty of being, having your brand. And that's the beauty of people not understanding your brand.
Right.
But when they see your brand and they see you getting results, and even if you're learning and you don't get it right, mm-hmm. I always value people's time. And dollar, because I know what that means. And I want to see people win, period. You know, like I said, but because there's enough to go around. Right, and what want, we all want something. There's enough to go around. What you want, I might not want.
Right, right.
I don't need to be in competition. If you win, I win.
Right. So and that's the beauty of like, and I'm sorry, I'm going to go here with that.
Go there.
But that's the beauty of girl power.
Girl power, baby.
But when you find your right tribe with girls, and I don't mean to like be gender.
Yes. Well, you're specific. Speaking from the gender that you're showing up in. Right. So I guess you're allowed.
So I'm just saying.
I guess you're like, allowed.
Well, girls are catty, bro.
I know.
Girls are so catty. I love them, love them, love them. I love powerful women. Mm. Powerful women. Not women that,
Ooh, she gonna go there, y'all. You're getting in it. You're gonna spill the tea on this Sunday.
Not yet.
Okay.
I love women that speak from power, not from victim.
Right. Well, it takes a while to get there, though.
It does. For some people. You and I both know.
I know. It takes a minute.
Girls just love to throw that out there. They're like, hi, blah, blah, blah. I'm a victim. And I'm like, okay, here we go.
Right. The shade is real.
I'm just saying.
It's an inside thing, guys. Yeah, but so, okay.
No, it's not just an inside thing. It's a real thing.
But I mean, it comes, well, you and I are having an inside moment, but it also comes from the inside.
Right.
So,
well, it's a mirror effect, right?
Oh, well, 100% what you attract when you're holding a mirror to see who you are. Right. That's what a relationship is.
Right.
Yeah.
So when a girl's being catty, you're just like, wait a minute. Check your spirit.
Ooh.
Okay. Check your spirit.
It is Sunday. She might take us back to church.
Check your spirit.
Uh-oh.
Check your ego. I'm just saying.
But I think that comes from childhood. Lack of discipline and lack of knowing that you are enough. And lack of, like, that's why I got a lot from athletics. Like, I don't feel in competition. I love that about, thank you.
I love that you, I've never been a competitor, but
yeah.
I know a lot of people that have. And I'm just saying, like, I respect that.
Well, thank you.
I totally respect that black and white area. For me, I'm always neutral. I'm like, whatever. Yeah, you win. But there's some people that they're like, no, fuck you. See you on the flip side.
I'm going to see you at the starting line in this race. So but you know what? I hope this makes sense to you guys. We're just having fun. We're gal friends. So I hope any of this makes sense. Take what works and leave the rest. But I think for me, if anybody met me on the starting blocks,
right,
that meant that they had enough gumption and they had trained themselves and they were ready to go and they believed in themselves and someone got them there, whether it was them, their parents, their coach, their pastor, their father, their priest, whomever, their Buddha, you know what I mean?
But so then we meet those people that really have not had that training.
This is where I was going with that. Right.
You're just like,
no, but this is my point. No matter how you got to you were ready to race and put it on the line. And you didn't know if you were going to be better. And I didn't know. Now we looked at each other's stats. But so I'm saying maybe the people, I'm using that as a very bad reference, but maybe a good one, that sometimes in the race of life, people don't have that coach, have that self. But I got it from there.
Well, and you know what? That's the sad part, right? So you see someone and they're super, they have all this animosity, all this anger, and they're like, man. And you can just tell that they're not being loved right.
Yeah. Or loved at all or ever.
Yeah. You're just like, fuck, like I can't even love you. Even if
you won't let me in.
Yeah. You won't let me in.
And okay. So we're all over the place, but all this will make sense. And when you don't heal those things, I had to do this at the top of starting a lot of my business, like starting all of it. I had to go, all right, I see that if I can't receive,
right,
that's going to block my business.
Oh my God. That's bingo.
Block my business. Myself enough to receive. You give, receive. And because that's validation that you're doing something right in your business.
Right.
And this is the Startup with Monique LaRay. And I'm with Juliet, darling. We're just all over the map. We're just having fun. So Juliet.
We're having so much fun. I can't even tell you.
I'm so glad you're here.
I know.
So it's pre-Emmys week. And we have a lot on our plate. What are you most excited about for Emmys this week?
Oh my God.
Next week. I can't
wait to see familiar faces. I can't wait to have the intense conversation about mental health.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to get deep with people.
Yeah.
People don't like to get deep.
I
can get them there.
How did you get that?
I don't know. I think it's because I have people think with their mind and their heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You ground them.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, can we bring it back? Because I don't view everything that you view.
You don't have to.
I don't have to, but that's the thing. People need to understand my heart may not be at the same rhythm as your heart. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But all of our hearts are part of creation.
It's all a part of creation.
Yeah.
So let's meet halfway. How about I meet you where you're at, you meet me where I'm at.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. So what can we look forward to in the coming Q1 of 2025 for the new Transmissions
Podcast. Unchained Transmissions
Podcast. Why don't you tell people, we have 2 minutes, tell people why it's called that.
Okay, so Unchained Transmissions, a lot of people are like, oh my God, it's going to be tied to car transmissions. I'm like, no. Okay,
no. She also fixes your car on the side, on the weekends.
No.
In her spare tire
time. I might like fix your motorcycle, but not your car.
Wow. Wait it.
Moving on.
Wait it up your ante.
I ride motorcycle.
Hey.
But with that being said, like, when you're truly connected to source, you're able to receive information that is a transmittal. So I'm receiving information from the divine. I eat clean. I work out. I meditate. There's nothing that is toxifying my transmittal.
Your transformer.
Right. So what I'm trying to say is it's a form of information. Yeah. Take it or leave it, bro.
Yeah.
You don't have to listen
to me. I think that's your new subtitle. Take it or leave it, bro.
Yeah, take it or leave it, bro.
And that's cool because, you know, I think that comes across in many different ways. Some people say through, you know, church or prayer, meditation, but a transmission is an intention, is a message, is a signal, is an informative piece of action. Right. I've had that in different ways. I'll say, okay, now I need to get a sign to move this way or that way, or yes or no. Because if it's not a hell yes,
right,
it's a hell no.
Right.
Or it's a hell sit down and wait.
Take your seat.
Sit down. Yeah.
And just wait.
And I would always push it and push it and push it.
Well, that's
what you sit down.
You wait for the message, right? Okay. You're like, show me. What direction do I take? What direction? But when you receive the message, then the path illuminates for you. You don't even have to do anything. You just listen. Calm your mind and listen.
So for you Abraham Hicks listeners and believers, which I love Abraham, that's what Juliet is saying. It's the art of allowing and just being. You said earlier this week, you're now just being like water.
I am. Well, it's funny because like my husband told me something and he was just like, he asked me a question and I was just like, you know what? I'm going to flow like water. I take form how you want me to take form. You know what I mean? So just like the divine, I mean, is telling you to just flow.
Yeah.
Take form.
Take form.
Just flow. And that's what I've been doing. I'm like, all right, bro, I'm flowing.
Yes. Okay, good. So you guys stay tuned for these Unchained Transmissions. I'm very excited to see what kind of transmissions you're going to get in Q1 of 2026.
I know. I have so many upcoming guests. I'm so excited. Gosh,
you do?
Yes.
And you're going to be traveling soon, right? Internationally. Very soon. We can't do this. Okay. You guys, you're seeing a little girly side of me because I'm with my friend here, but thank you for blessing the startup with your presence.
To work with you work with Jada and work with everyone.
Shout out to Jada.
Yes.
We have so Jada's many exciting projects.
I'm so excited. Yes.
There's so many cool things. You guys, literally, if you look to the right of Juliet, you will see swag all over my house. So we have the Emmys. I don't want them to see it. I don't want them to see it yet because I want it to be pretty.
It's a mess right now. Nicely organized, I must say.
Thank you. That's the best compliment you can give me. It's a mess, but it's organized. So
love it.
Post this episode, we will be posting on Cap Aquarius Media and Startup, and Juliet will also be reposting our swag bags, and we will highlight every single brand that will be in the bags and everybody that's got tables. And so in case you don't know, the Celebrity Gifting Suite is a lead up, a run up event to the actual Emmys award show. And so shout out to Heather Mariana. Thank you for inviting me back and my brand partners and friends to contribute to this and tap into your network. She's also a badass, but you know what? We don't want to leave the men out. I want to give a special shout out to all the men who support strong women and stand with them. And
without them, we would be nothing.
Well, okay. I don't have a husband yet, child.
But I love men.
We love you guys.
I'm just saying.
So true. And Sam.
Adam to the Eve, Eve to the Adam.
That's it. And everything in between. Shout out to Sam. Hi, Sam. Happy 6th anniversary, Sam. You've been with me. It's been like an online marriage. I know you have a wife. No disrespect. But Sam has been stuck with me for 6 years. And Sam, thank you so much for believing in me and You guys, I'll see you. Let's go for 7 years. So what will you start up today? Yeah.
We're going for like infinity.
I love it. What will you start up today? We'll see you next week. Be well. Bye.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.